You got a drinking problem. Well, as you are well aware, we are in the season of giving thanks. The sad part is it shouldn't be a season. It should be a year-round thing. But there are a lot of people who only give thanks. And they say they're giving thanks, and then they turn around and gripe about this, that, and the other on the same day that they just said, "Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done for me." And I know many of you in here are participating in the social media activity of 30 days of giving thanks, and I applaud you for that. But I'm going to throw you a challenge. I would be neglecting what I'm actually supposed to do. I'm not up here to make you feel good. I'm not up here to stroke your ego, tickle your ear. I'm here to challenge you. I would be amiss if I didn't challenge you. You don't have to post it. But every day, thank God for something. You know, I can look back, you know, my life wasn't real. By no means. I mean, our poverty level up here was definitely a lot better than what it was in West Virginia, because we ended up homeless down there for a short period. And it wasn't real fun bouncing from one family member to another. Even though I do remember this one, it was a great uncle. He's my great uncle. He passed away recently. But his house was an old log cabin on top of 18 Mile Creek Road. And if you don't know what switchbacks are, that's where the road goes this way and then turns back on itself. And there's boulders sitting at the edge of the road because they fell off. And there's no guardrails. I rode my motorcycle up there a couple years ago thinking, "Dear Lord," I remember going up and down this thing as a kid in a Volkswagen Bug. What were we thinking? You know, because it's like, that's half a mile down if you miss the curve. But I went up there, you know, and many years ago, the old cabin burned down. But I remember being in that old cabin, and it was winter when we were staying with them. And it was so cold, and it had a little loft area upstairs. There was snow inside the room. That's, you know, some of you know what I'm talking about. That's how bad that cabin was. Now, it mysteriously burned down. The only papers that were saved were the insurance papers. Just saying, those are the facts. They are undisputed. But they got a new home out of it. And it was a lot better and a lot warmer. And it's still there. You know, when we get to where I just hate this place. I hate this. You know, there's always somebody who's got it worse. There's a movie I love. It's really a stupid movie, and it bombed at the box office, but it's called Gone Fishing. It is one of my favorite movies, especially to catch a good nap to. But in the show, it actually has Joe Pesci and Danny Glover in it. Okay, so that's what makes it even hilarious that it bombed. But it's just real simple. And Danny's character in the movie, he's always saying, "It could be worse." And Joe finally gets to a point, he said, "Don't tell me it could be worse. Nothing could be worse than this." And he points out, okay, yeah, it can be worse than this. You know, when we get to a point where we are no longer grateful, we're no longer truly thankful for what we have, for what God has given us, for what God has done in our lives, I'm going to show you some things in the Word about giving thanks. So let's open our Bibles this morning to Psalms 100, first off. I don't think you can ever teach a message on thankfulness, thanksgiving, or gratitude without coming here. Psalms 100, got to find my glasses. I am thankful that I still have eyeballs and can still see. Verse 4, it says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations." You know, when you stop and think, into his courts and into his gates, you know, when we start talking about that, we're talking about a king. You're entering into the gates past his walls and into his courts with thanksgiving. People who go into the presence of a king who is merciful and who is benevolent and who is loving, and they're griping and belly aching. They've lost sight of what they've got. They've become focused on me. We kind of have that problem right now in this country. And it's not just the millennials. It's not just this generation or that generation. It's the whole cotton picking bunch of us. We are in such a bad shape because it's me, 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 me. And the truth of the matter is, we quit looking at us. Sometimes we have to make sacrifices. Sometimes you have to make the sacrifice. Sometimes I have to make the sacrifice. Sometimes it's about moving somebody else forward. And, you know, while I understand a lot of things, and I look and I told Angela, you know, I've told my family, said, I don't agree with this for this reason. And I can see their point here. See, that's the problem with politics. We no longer look at what's good for the whole country. If the truth be known, if we look at our founding fathers, you will see they didn't agree on hardly too many subjects together. But one thing they did agree on, they didn't like King George. They didn't like paying the taxes they were paying or having to board troops. They didn't like that. But yet they could put all that aside and say, we do like freedom. And they came together for that. And, you know, and as bad and as broken as our system is, and it's broken, you can't sit here and say it's not. Our system is severely broken. As bad as all that is, I'm reminded at least our politicians aren't in Congress with clubs and rocks beating each other. We can act a little civilized. We can do a few things. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful that right now our government cannot just come in, even though there are states overstepping their bounds, demanding that preachers turn over their notes. I thought about that today as I was putting mine on paper. I got a bunch of these in my office. I can only imagine if somebody says, we need you to turn over your notes. Well, here they are. That's all you got. You're going to have to listen to all 15 years worth of messages to come up with the message, because this is what I have for notes. But see, as a people, as God's people, as the church, I'm preaching to the church. As a nation, we should always be like this as well. But the church is who I have to preach to. We should always be thankful. Yeah, we may not have everything we want, right? Let's be honest. But we need to be thankful for what we've got. Well, I may not. I don't have this, Lord. You know, I got to tell you, it was grating on me for a while. You know, my poor old pickup truck, it was 285,000 miles. And it was falling apart quickly. We were trying to keep it together so Jesse could have something. He wouldn't have to go out and try to find something right then. We knew what was wrong with it. We knew we could keep it going, you know, for pretty inexpensive. But when it was all said and done, you know, it was not the best looking truck. And y'all can remember my last pickup truck before that. Angela called it my Sanford and Son truck. I'll be honest with you. I really did like that truck. I can't help it. It was five different colors. That very few of the body parts were original. But I was thankful for that truck. And I loved it. I enjoyed it. And I got to tell you, you know, sometimes we set our goals on such things high and mighty that we forget to be grateful for what we've got. And boy, I was just tickled to have that old pickup truck. And I know the guy that I traded a couple guns for, he was tickled to have that pickup truck. Because I'm going to tell you, he bid on it 15 minutes after I listed it. I was like, dear Lord, I was afraid I wasn't going to be able to get rid of it. Who wants a truck that's this old and got all these different parts on it? And by the way, it needed a new frame. But here's the other side. You don't know. I had all those parts to make it new. He just wanted a project. Well, he got it. And then as I was looking at my other pickup truck, I was like, Lord, I really would like to have something newer. And I kept looking at the prices of new used trucks. Forget the new. I knew, I was like, God, there's no way I'm coming out with a new truck. I'm going to thank you. I'm going to find something that's maybe 6-7 years old. You know, I would like for it to be at least around 100,000 miles. I'd like for it to be lower. And I don't want to spend $40,000 for it. Because that's where I was looking at. And I started thanking God. Folks, God made a way for me to have a brand new truck, which I am putting the miles on. But I know full well that had I got in and started comparing and gotten cold and bitter and angry at God, and God said, I'm not the one that said you couldn't have a new truck. He told me that. You said you couldn't have a new truck. And you know why I said I couldn't have a new truck? Because I listened to all the stupid people that said, it drops in value as soon as you drive it off the lot. Everything drops in value. Come on. Everything drops in value. But what I told myself is, I'm not worthy of having nice stuff. I got to have everybody's hand-me-downs. For a long time, that's what I wore. That's how I grew up. I got everybody's hand-me-downs and garage sale finds. And always got, and if it wasn't that, I got what somebody else thought I needed to have. That's why when we donate clothes, or we adopt a family, I tell you, don't buy what you would buy for your kids. Because while I was grateful to have the clothing, because we were adopted when I was in high school, we were adopted by a church. And I was grateful. But you know what they did? They didn't go buy what they bought their kids. They went and bought what they bought the old men. A 15-year-old doesn't wear Dickie pants. Just saying. A 46-year-old still doesn't wear Dickie pants. I just can't do it. I know some of you wear them. I can't wear rustlers anymore. I grew up wearing rustlers. I grew up wearing three seasons ago corduroys. Corduroys went out of style 3 years and I was still wearing them. But I learned to be grateful for what I have and thankful for the clothes that I have. And you know what? I get to go buy new clothes. I get to buy the pants I want. And when Levi's quit going on sale, I said, well, I'm not paying $60 for a pair of blue jeans. And if you want to be, we want to look at it, let's get real. Because I was in a store in Polaris, the jeans were $300. I was like, Lord God, I can buy a lot of clothes for $300. But for one pair of jeans, and you think I'm kidding. They had a really good piano player in there, though. He was my nephew. He was the reason I was in that store, by the way. So if we enter into God's presence with thanksgiving, this is how we should come before Him in prayer. That's where we come into God's courts and into His gates. It's when we go to Him in prayer. And again, folks, I want people to understand, prayer is not just a time of when you crawl into your special place. Okay, we'll call it that. Because coming out of a closet today has a different connotation. When you go into your prayer, the place that you can talk to God, and you're truly grateful, you've got God's attention. The other morning, my wife wasn't home. She was with Tony, who was down at Riverside. Praise God, she's doing well, but I can understand sitting on this chair. And but anyhow, my wife wasn't there, and well, I don't know about y'all. I don't sleep well. I stay up really, really late and wake up really, really early for some unknown reason. I can't stand it. And so I'm up. I'm like, well, I mean, there's fog on the ground, you know, still in the air. Boys weren't up yet. And I went and started the coffee. I do know how to do that. And Walked out on the porch, and I just stood there. You know, you got that low-lying fog out across the field from my house, and the smell of the trees. And I, by the way, fall is my favorite time. But I cannot tell you how the gratitude of my Heavenly Father, what He did, what He does for me, how it overwhelmed me that day. I was going to go out there and I was going to pray for this, that, and be the great prayer warrior. And I was so overcome with gratitude that my Heavenly Father would think enough of me for this. When I moved out of the house I'd fixed up for 15 years, I told Angela, I don't want a project. I want a newer house. I want something that just needs painted. Something just needs this or that. That's all I want. And we thought we'd found the house. It had land I could hunt. I didn't have to go around getting permission slips from everybody. I had my own land to hunt. But what I didn't realize is that house wouldn't have fit the bill. And every time I now step out and I look out one of my windows, I have to thank Him because He knew better. He knew what I needed. And I didn't need that extra land to hunt on because I don't have it. I only have 2.5 acres. But I will be thankful because it's more than the less than a quarter acre I had in town. My lot was about the size of this building. And so I'm grateful for that. Because what God did was He made sure somebody else bought the land around me that it will never be subdivided. And I have permission to hunt. But what God also did is showed me what friends mean. Well, I have to go get permission to hunt. And guess what? It's with my friends. Right where I hunted before. So, it's just when I do get to carve out the time to go hunting now. All right. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Paul's telling the Colossians here, he says, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. If we are vigilant, when we go into God's presence, listen, we go in, we think that prayer time is when we should go in and we bind every demon and we're casting down imaginations and we're doing this spiritual warfare, and you are. But we think that we got to get all hyped up and psyched up like a real soldier, a real warrior has to go into battle. The battle's already won. Where we go in there, we're snarling, we're foaming at the mouth in combat. We're going to go in, kick the devil's butt. Problem is that Jesus already did that. We should go in with thanksgiving and praise and a grateful heart and say, Lord, you know what I'm up against. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. There's things you don't always know what's happening. I had a situation the other day, and I just walked in on the porch. I mean, it was a punch in the stomach. And I was just angry. But there was nothing I could do about it. Nothing I could say. And I was walking in on my porch into the back door, and I just stopped and I said, God, I'm saying this out loud. I do not understand this. Because this is not making sense with what I know of you. And, you know, and I went, and I'm going to tell you right now, sometimes this is why everybody needs somebody close that you can talk to. Because, you know, while prayer, and if you ain't got anybody right then, prayer is the way you need to go. And I'm going to tell you right now, praying in the Spirit beats anything. You don't understand what you're saying, but boy, the Holy Spirit does. And he went to work for you. And I went in and I kept trying to call Angela and kept calling her and calling her. She was in there at the office, but her phone was in air. She was in here. And I called 5 or 6 times. I'm like, why aren't you answering? Why aren't you answering? So I'm getting all worked up about that. And then finally, the number one reason I was calling her was to tell her to order pizza. Which is, you need to understand something. That is a move, God moved for my family in that I called and told her to order pizza. Because for 20-some years, you could keep pizza for as far as I was concerned. I had it 3 times a day for a while. I was done with pizza. But I've gotten where I can eat it again, and I crave it. But I told her, I said, I hesitate. She's like, what's wrong? When I told her, folks, she didn't tell me anything I didn't already know. But when I finally told her and was honest, and I told her the same thing I told God, I said, I'm angry. This is not right on any level. But I am angry. I told her, I said, you know what? I feel better. See, what happened was the Holy Spirit was able to bring in and say, hey, it's going to be all right. Just trust God in it. Because like I said, there's nothing I could do about it, what was going on. Not one thing. So if we go before God, we go with thanksgiving. And we're vigilant. That means to be on, like you're a sentry on post. You know, you've got to be. The Marine Corps has these things called general orders. Every Marine memorizes them. There are 11 of them. We made up a 12th one, which you never did want to actually say when you were asked. Because it was our own little way of being belligerent to officers. But number 11 was to be especially watchful at night and during the times for challenge. And to challenge all persons on or near my post. To be especially watchful, to be vigilant, is what that meant during those times. We know when they're coming, folks. You can tell when they're coming. Listen, right now, this week, I've had, the devil has been trying to do something, and I've had to take a stand. This morning, I ended up praying for a while in the shower, in the spirit, because I didn't, something not right. Something is stirring. The devil is stirring things in people, making you want to come out against people that you have no reason why. You're like, why? I love this person. Why would I want to do that? He's stirring, folks. This is the time for challenging. And the first thing, again, you need to understand is who you are. See, one thing they had to make sure that we understood as sentries, at any post, we were the boss. You come up to my post, unidentified, I have every right to put you on your face at the end of an M16. And I mean the business end. And if you get belligerent, you're going to get the other business end, which is what we call it a motivating butt stroke. Trust me, they will lay you out. When the devil comes, we got to be paying attention. Because he's not going to always just walk right up to the opening of your post if you're standing in a shack. He's going to sneak around. I'm going to tell on myself here. I was a young, dumb PFC on guard duty. Hated guard duty. I mean, ours, fortunately for that post, was short. It was 4 hours on. But you don't get to go to the bathroom. You don't eat. You don't do nothing. And it's midnight, 1 o'clock, and it's like I'm going to go crazy. And I found the funny papers. I found the funny papers. And I just walked into where we cleaned our weapons and leaned up against the table where I could see everything out around except my backside, which had a gap. And I heard something and I turned around and there's the officer of the day. He was the only one I knew for sure that I couldn't put on his face. And he came around. I got a butt chewing. I thank God for his mercy, because he could have wrote me up and burned me big time. That's dereliction of duty. It's nighttime. My camp was not within a base itself surrounded by fence. My camp was surrounded by jungle. And at that point, there were people who wanted to steal things that we had. See, the devil's no difference. He doesn't come in flat out right through the door. He's a thief. Do thieves usually just open up the door and walk in? They usually bust a glass or bust a window. They sneak in somehow. We got to be especially watchful. But especially at times when we know that there's things stirring. In this country, this is a time. Tuesday is huge. Which is why right now I'm challenging you, Monday, do not stop praying. Do not cease. You don't know what to pray for anymore? Pray in the Spirit. But do not cease to pray Monday. I've felt this for the last couple weeks, and now I'm telling you, we are down to the wire. While there's different aspects of this election that have happened throughout the course of our history, there are some things that are unprecedented. And this is a vital election. Because I don't know about you, but I'm personally sick and tired of all the commercials. I DVR everything now so that I can push the button 8 times and get past everything. But we have got to not get caught up and grumbling and mumbling amongst ourselves about things. We need to pray. We need to be thankful that we live in a country that still has a somewhat functioning system. It's not perfect, but I can promise you there are others that are a lot worse than what we've got. We could be sitting under the thumb of a king again. And you do whatever the king says. If you don't bow when he walks in, they could take you out and shoot you. Just think about that. Well, it doesn't happen in this day and age. Yes, it does. All right. 2 Timothy. Chapter 3. Starting verse 1. It said, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times. These times mean they're savage, difficult, dangerous, painful, fierce, grievous, hard to deal with. Does that not sound like today? It's hard to deal with stuff. We look at it and say, you've got to be kidding me. How is that right? For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. Folks, if that does not describe what we are today as a whole, I don't know any other section of Scripture that does. Because we have churches that deny the very Word of God. They're teaching New Age philosophy. The Bible tells us to get along with each other, with all people. Okay? And that is what I will teach. You do not have to accept sin. Okay? But neither were you called to be combative with everybody. He said, live peaceably. But it doesn't mean we compromise. We see so much stuff happening on, but here's the biggest thing out of all this, folks. I'm going to tell you what I think one of the biggest problems that's bringing all this about is, as a people, we are no longer thankful. We are no longer truly grateful for what we have. We're not willing to work on things. I think parties should be banned. Let's work together as people.
Well, you're this, and because you're that, I can't vote for you.
Even though I think you're right, I can't join with you. We're first off in this country, Americans. We're not Federalists, which was the first parties. Republicans, Democrats, Libertarians, Green Party, whatever. We are Americans. We forgot that. We want to be identified as Scottish American, Irish American. I'm African American. I'm Asian American. I'm Latino American. You're American. We have one common thing in there. We're Americans. We're imperfect. We are biased. But the one thing we need to learn is we have got to make this country a great place. And we're only going to do that by learning, first off, there is one true God. And that we need to be grateful to that God. Our founding fathers, we like to sit here, and I'm sorry, but Christians even twist what history is. Our founding fathers, not all of them, were great godly men. A lot of them were just purity heathens, but they knew about God. And they knew you don't really need to cross that line with God. And so they said, we need to keep God. For it is by God that we are what we are. We grew up into something that is unrecognizable. We're no longer thankful for the rights and privileges we have. The rights and privileges that were bought with blood. As the church, we're no longer thankful for what Jesus Christ did, what he purchased with his blood. We take coming to church for granted. It's a privilege. And holy smoke, I just had a scare. That clock hasn't been changed yet. Like, wow, man, I've really been preaching. It's 1 o'clock. Now that that's done, I can keep preaching. We have forgotten the struggles. See, here's the problem. Each generation should talk to the next generation and tell them things they had, things they've seen. Nobody wants to do that until the person's on their deathbed, and then they don't want to, because the person's so weak, they don't want to ask them. I cannot tell you how many times, you know, there were some things. My family, unfortunately, there's not a whole lot of history. My grandmother, when she was alive, and I could go there, and she would start telling me something. And I started asking her some questions. Her health was good. She had energy, and she would tell me some of these things. I didn't know she married my grandfather twice. Didn't know that. She told me. There's a lot of things she told me that I didn't know. But see, the generations no longer talk. Oh, your hair's purple, your hair's spiky. So what? What do you think the people from the 1860s would think of the kids in the 50s, all these guys running around with flat tops? I don't care. If my kids want to dye their hair, and one of them did not work out well for him. We had a couple of them in here that season that had some funky hair. Who cares? Who cares? Who cares if they're... Well, I care if you're wearing your pants down to your knees. Yeah, pull them up. But who cares if they've got purple hair? Who cares if they got an earring? So what? Yeah, I don't know. They're wearing that dog collar. They want to wear a dog collar, let them wear a dog collar. It's their neck, not yours. But see, what they've lost is because they no longer talk on because of this divide that's been created. They no longer pass on, this is how my childhood was. This is how this was. We didn't have this. See, there's a generation that you may not have realized that, folks, but the kids that were freshmen, I think it was freshmen this year, were not around when 9/11 happened.
They don't remember it. I'm like, how can you? Wait a minute, you weren't even born. Just like some of you in here that are a lot younger than me. You weren't born yet. You didn't know about that. And there's some of you that remember things that I wasn't around for. I wasn't born yet. I don't remember that. Nobody in here remembers a depression, right? Not being depressed. No. See, but we can't be grateful for what we have because we don't know where we came from anymore. We don't know the struggles and the hardships. We can't be thankful for a good job because, well, it's got to be better yet. If somebody needs to learn, understand how bad things were, just watch The Men Who Built America, that whole series on the History Channel, and see how people were treated. They were treated like dogs. They had guns turned on them. And nothing was ever really done about it. Well, I think I need much, much, much more money. Listen, as the working class, there is a great divide. I can understand that. We need it. But we need to also keep the challenge of climbing, of attaining, of dreams. But also to keep the stand that I'm not your doormat. You're not going to talk to me like that. I don't care how old you are. We created an abusive situation. Our young people should not be talking to our elders like that. But our elders shouldn't be talking to the young people like they're dogs. The Bible says, treat others how you want to be treated. You talk to me like a dog, I will talk to you like a dog. See how it works. That's the Word of God. That's the Word. That's the Word. That's not my opinion. That's the Word of God. You want respect, you got to give it. Goes both ways, baby. Just saying. Be thankful. Talk to these kids. You see the kids sitting around. Listen. Do you know why drugs are running rampant in places like Marion? Marion, by the way, is number 5 in the state as the most poverty-ish city. Number 5 out of all the cities we've got. It's number 5. It's also showing up big time on the radar for heroin. They just had a bunch of overdoses last week, and they arrested 9 dealers. Okay? Do you know why? Well, there's too much money. It ain't got nothing to do with money. There's no real good jobs, which we won't get into politics on all that. We need to put people back to work doing real things. Flipping burgers is not a real thing. We know that. It was always supposed to have been a temporary job. Management is a different deal. But these were entry-level jobs to come in. But the problem is we don't teach things in school. Shop class is gone. We don't know how to make anything anymore. If the kid's dad doesn't have tools at home, they don't know how to operate them. What's this? I've seen them. Next thing you know, man, I mean, hand tools are going to be a thing of the past. I just punch in my computer how to do this, and the machine carves this thing out. That's neat and fun and dandy, all that, but there's no skill in it anymore. Computer jobs are only going to go so far. We're going to work ourselves. We're going to create so much stuff. We will be like, was that Wall-E? Wall-E, where he's got everybody's flying around on his big airplane. They become so fat and lazy, they have to be wheeled around because they cannot do anything for themselves anymore. Hey, you know what? When Bob and Karen call and say, hey, you know, would the boys be able to come over and help pick up rocks? We got rocks working up. You better believe they're going to be there. They're going to get out. They're going to walk beside the tractor, and they're going to pick up those rocks, and they're going to put them in the tractor. And they're not going to always, well, you know, we got a big loader. We can always do it. Now, I do have a picture of a rock they started digging out with a shovel, and then they realized that the rock was a little bit more than a shovel could handle. It turned out it was like this big, to which technology kicked in. Pop it out. Let's dig it out. Be thankful we've got that. Be thankful we've got the tools we've got now. I remember trying to drive barn spikes into locust posts through 1-inch oak boards to put up a fence. And I'm thinking, dear Lord, we need a drill. Because it was 2 above 0 that day. I couldn't feel anything. Nothing wanted to move. And I'm like, give me the chainsaw. At least it's putting off heat. But now, I thank God for that. You know what? Because I got battery-powered drills that don't cost $500 for one little drill. The whole kit costs $500, but I thank God for that. Being thankful for the things we have, for the technology that we've got, the things that we learned. There's actually a move going on in the hunting realm. You know, we've got bows that are shooting arrows at 300-plus feet per second. That's moving. Unfortunately, you almost got to be Lou Ferrigno in order to pull the thing back anymore. I know after about 3 shots, I'm done. I can't pull it back anymore. It's like my arm's like, no. But there's actually a move going on going backwards. There's people wanting spear hunting legalized. The people are going back with recurve bows. So much stuff. They're like, it's no longer fun. It's no longer hunting. There's no longer a challenge. If I can shoot an arrow at 300 feet per second, where's the challenge? Where's the challenge of sitting there and making that deer come within 20 yards of you? Instead, oh, yeah, you know, I can shoot that deer from a half mile away. Now, I do like that challenge too, but I like the challenge of having to sit still long enough. Because for me anymore, that's the challenge. Romans chapter 1, good verse 20. It says, for since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. You know what he's talking about here, folks? Science. His attributes, everything that he's done is clearly seen by the physical world. And now today we can break it down and we can see things that we couldn't see before. We can see atoms. I mean, we can break this. We can now see what makes us. That's pretty awesome. But way back in their time, they said all the things that God has that can't be seen are made manifest by what we can see. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew, now listen, he's talking about generations before, although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts and their foolish hearts and were darkened. The word futile means to make it empty. See, we're no longer thankful for revelations of what is truth. And this is where I differ and stand against a lot of garbage that's being taught. There's so many people that, well, God didn't have nothing to do with that. God had everything to do with everything that's ever been on this planet. The dinosaurs. And I have to laugh in amazement every year about how they think, you know what, maybe this particular dinosaur wasn't what we think it was. Because its bone structure looks a lot like a chicken's. Maybe it actually had feathers. You know, they think the Velociraptor actually had feathers now. Because its legs and feet were more like a bird. And I believe it. Because the word dinosaur means terrible lizard. God only created so many lizards. Then he created things with hair. Then he created things with skin. He created things with feathers. He created all this different stuff. So why would we think that God would create, and God did create the dinosaurs. Why would we think he'd create something like that way back then and make them all have leather skin? I think he's an amazing God. I mean, when I get to doing something, I have to keep repeating it over and over and over. It's boring. When I painted buses, I hated seeing big orders come in because I got to have a change up from time to time. And when COTA would order buses, they usually ordered about 100 buses at a time. That meant for 100 buses, I was touching up with the same color. Everything was the same. Then we'd get a few different orders and smaller orders. And it's like, ooh, yeah. Now this bus, California, they wanted pretty buses. They didn't just stick with white, man. They had them all kinds of colors, which meant I got to work with all kinds of different colors and paint and touching these things up. That's God. God says, well, you know what? I made enough lizards, made enough snakes. Let's make this. You know, not everything was really as we think it is, but we became unthankful to God because even though we knew God to be multifaceted, and we have to first off know that He created us in His image, and we get bored after a while with the same thing, don't we? Do you eat the same thing every night? If you do, I will promise you, you lead a boring life. There's so many other things out there to try. And we even get this way with our food. We become ungrateful and unthankful for what we have. Now listen, some people shouldn't eat certain things. Their bodies, for some one reason or another, because of sin, can no longer process right. I wholeheartedly concur with that. But it doesn't make it sin for everybody. I will tell you right now, you will not get me to eat kale. You can keep it. I will not touch kale. I will not eat spinach lasagna ever again. If it ain't got meat, I'm not eating lasagna. I like spinach, but I like meat lasagna. But the Bible says all things can be eaten with thankfulness. You don't want to eat pork? Don't eat pork, but don't try to condemn me because I'm not receiving it, baby. I like bacon. Bacon likes me. We have a good relationship. I do know there are some things I shouldn't eat. They don't like me so well. But when I eat, I am truly thankful. And you know what? When I eat, I don't always stop right then and there. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus, and make a production out of blessing my food. Thankfulness is not just sitting there saying a prayer. Thankfulness is a lifestyle. When you walk around and you're thankful, you're grateful for what you've got. You're thankful for what? Lord, even though I didn't thank you, because listen, you'd have to stop and thank God for everything you ever put in your mouth. God didn't say that. God didn't say, oh, you need to stop and make a production of this so that everybody in the restaurant can see you. You stop and get an ice cream cone. Stop and get a pop. You stop and get a tea. Get a water. I don't care what it is. But if you're grateful for it and thankful, and by the way, all things in moderation, back off. If you're drinking a gallon of pop every day, I can tell you what will happen because it happened to me. I didn't need a beer belly because I had the Coke belly. At 8 months pregnant, I could stick my belly out further than hers. And there was almost a 10-pound baby in there. But I'll drink a pop from time to time. But I know that too much is not going to be good for me. Dentist has already told me I'm a swisher. Any other swishers in here besides my family? Okay, there's a few of you who will admit it. Your dentist says, you need to quit swishing. You're getting all that acid back here in all your teeth. I'm like, that's when it tastes good. I get all the flavoring. I'm grateful. But folks, seriously though, if we come before God in all things, if we're thankful, God will manifest. You don't have to try to manipulate God. There's not no 10 steps on how to get God's blessing in your life. First off, be thankful. Adam and Eve were no longer thankful for what they had. I want you to understand, it was one lousy tree. It didn't have magical powers. And the serpent did not have to try too terribly hard to talk them into taking of it. He didn't have to try hard. That's not much of an argument. Because if we go into James, James says we're all lured away by our own desires. And why do we get? Because we're not thankful for the things we have. We're no longer thankful. They weren't thankful for the fact that they could eat off of any tree, any berry, any nut, any herb. I don't know what all the herbs' purposes was, but I do know there's some of them that make you funky. I don't know. I won't cross that line. It's not a good line to cross, and I don't need to cross it. I'm just saying, sin brought something else about. When they partook of it, when they said, you know what? We're not thankful that we are created in the image of God. They should have seen that clearly. They actually could see God face to face. The last human beings that could ever see God face to face were Adam and Eve. Think about that. And they weren't thankful that they were created in His image. But yet they had to have more. We want to be more like God. We want to become more like somebody. Eating food, taking something doesn't make you more like them. Being around them and acting like them makes you more like them. That's when my wife, my mother in particular, my sisters, you are just like Dad. Well, yeah, when you're around somebody for all those years, you start acting like them. And the thing is, we're more like the people that we think, well, I'm not going to be like them, than we think. And good and bad, okay? It's good and bad in everything. But we have to be thankful for what we've got, thankful for what God is doing in this country, in our lives, and that Jesus is returning. And we will see God move. But God can't move if we're ungrateful. That, I think, folks, is the single most important thing. You don't have to worry about fasting 100 days straight in order to get God's hand to move. You just need to be thankful first. And if God says fast, then you fast. But more importantly, be grateful and thankful. Because, listen, when they became unthankful, they became boasters. They became proud, prideful, disobedient, blasphemers. By the way, he's still talking about today. We have people blaspheming God. We have the church blaspheming God. We have politicians telling us that we should loose our morals. You should get some. We are in a crucial time in history. If the church will be the church she's supposed to be, not boasting, not proudful, not disobedient, loving, kind, merciful, thankful, folks, people will be drawn to Jesus Christ for that reason. People are pushed away. I cannot tell you and emphasize this enough. I have friends on Facebook who they call themselves agnostic. Any religion. It does not matter. But Christianity in particular. And I got to tell you, it's because the church has become arrogant, boastful, proud, thieving. We twist things to get people to give. And I've strived my hardest not to ever do that. I will tell you, tithe. will not back off of that. That is God's command from day one. Tithe. Then you really want to get him to open up the windows of heaven? Sow seed. Tithe is the plow. You got to put seed in that ground and watch what God will do. I'm telling you, there's people in here who live a really nice lifestyle, and it's been because they've started following God's plan. Because we know full well the world's plan is we can take it away from you. Stop and think about where we're at. We no longer have gold. If I had my wallet on you, I'd show you what we have. We have a piece of plastic with magic. Stick it in there. Hey, it says I got money. What are you going to do one of these days? You go in there and it says you ain't got any. And you know you should have some. And then everybody in your family, hey, we ain't got no money either. It's because it's magic. Poof, it's gone. Our trust shouldn't be in any of that. It should be in God. All right, let's stand. Quick reminder, we will be having fellowship meal afterwards. And you know, the importance of these meals, you get to actually sit down and talk to somebody that you don't get to often. You learn a lot about each other. You know, in the Bible, every time they got together, they had a meal. Every time. Now, I know churches that try that, and I'm going to tell you right now, it takes a lot of work to do that every service. There are churches that were having meals before Wednesday night services. They always had to order pizza because half the people were working right up until that moment. But these times build camaraderie. And then we're going to have war on the floor. We're going to pray. We used to cut out an hour. And then over time, God said, now, learn just to pray and trust me and believe me. And if it takes an hour, it takes an hour. And there's been times it don't take an hour. But I cannot begin to tell you. You know, there's times I've had people, and sometimes I will ask people to pray. I think we should all be able to pray to God out loud. I don't force anybody. But I think this is as important as anything else. We used to have it as a mandatory part of leadership. But I don't do it anymore. I want you to be here. I want you to want to be here. Because if you don't want to be here, I don't want you to be here. I won't beat you over the head to make you come to church. You don't want to be here, don't be here. There are some days I don't want to be here. I'm just being honest. I do have a responsibility, though, and I can't do that. But I know the days that I don't feel like being here. Last week was one of them, by the way. I find God steps in. And the parts of me that are broken and missing that day, He fills. And He shows how strong He is. And just how pathetic I really am. Like I said, I know sometimes it's difficult. But if God is first in our hearts, watch what He will do. You'll see things move and you'll be just standing there, your jaws on the ground, folks. Because I'm going to tell you right now, we've prayed for people that were dying. I mean, literally, they were in the hospital, loved ones were called in. 2 days later, they walked out. Walked out. Why? Because we prayed. Faith. Faith came together. People have been healed of cancer because of faith. Just saying. All right, let's pray. Father God in heaven, Lord God, we truly are grateful. We thank you, Father,
for the many wonderful things you've done in our life, for the cross that Jesus bore to take away the reproach that would keep us from you. Lord, I thank you that through what he did, we can now be called your children. Lord, we know we're imperfect. We know sometimes we really blow it. But in all that, Lord, you are first and foremost our Father. You are our Father God. Lord, I pray now that you help us all to walk more grateful towards you, towards the things that you have given us, to remind us, Lord God, that when we get to acting ungrateful, we speak the things that should not be spoken, Lord, that we will stop, hit our knees, repent of that, and thank you and praise you for who you are. And now, Lord God, I thank you for each and every person in here today. Lord, I thank you for those that will be able to stay and those that will be leaving. I thank you for them all. Lord, we bless the food. We thank you for the food we're about to have in this time of fellowship. Lord, I pray that all of us will leave this place today changed. Not with just a little inkling of a determination that we're going to make a change, but that when we walk out of here, we're going to thank you for the change that's happening and take each and every day as a new day, thanking you for that day. And Lord, that no matter how hard that day may get, we will remember what James wrote when he said, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into trials." That Lord, we will thank you. We don't have to thank you that things just went bad in our life, but Father, we're thanking you that you are there. You are going to make this thing work out right in spite of what the devil may try to do. And now, Lord, I bless these people, Lord. I am truly thankful and humble, Lord, humbled that they choose to come here. Lord, that many I know had obstacles this morning, things that just cried out they needed more attention, but yet they chose to be here today, Father. I bless them now. In Jesus' name, amen.